In about 1976, I believe. And I waited till after the McCoys left. He was a deacon here. And I just didn't feel comfortable at that particular time to introduce Daniel's 70th week to him. And I knew exactly what would happen because it is amazing to me how many of our preachers in the American Baptist Association never heard of Daniel's 70th week, never even heard of it. And I knew when I finally gave up in about 1992, God just laid it on my heart, Tom, tell him. I mean, he didn't whisper in my ear, but he'd been bugging me about it because this teaching had just completely faded away because it didn't go along with Hal Lindsey's idea of the Antichrist coming out of Europe, as well as what I consider a heresy that was introduced in by a man in England who went to a meeting and heard a little girl stand up and speak in tongues and tell them that the Lord was going to come on the seventh trumpet. It's been an interesting time. What is extremely interesting to me right now and of great concern is the way that people are leaving churches in groves, but they are leaving churches with the idea that the Antichrist is going to show up, and immediately when he's first identifiable, the rapture will occur. I'm very sensitive about what's going to happen to me at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm also sensitive about what's going to happen to you. I am your pastor, and you're responsible for your own belief and what you believe and how you believe it. But if I don't tell you this, if I don't show you the truth, I'm afraid at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to be in trouble. Now, there are some things about this that I admit you have to adjust a little. But this is coming on us. And I really believe it's going to happen within 2 years after Obama leaves office. I believe that the last 1,335 days of Daniel's 70th week shall begin to be fulfilled within 2 years after Obama leaves office in January 2007. I have never known the exact time, so I have always chosen slots of times, and I've always told you it was likely. But this time I'm saying likely, but I'm very sure it's going to happen. And it's going to begin at that time. And missionary Baptist churches aren't ready for this. And missionary Baptist churches aren't ready for it to begin. And they don't believe Daniel's 70th week. But I'm going to say this very slowly. And I'm going to say it twice. Before 1740, I have never found a record in all my travels and all my ancient libraries that I've gone through across this earth and across the United States and even in the Far East and even in North Africa. I have never found one preacher before 1740 that identified the three he's in Daniel as Antichrist. Not one. And I have put that out on the website, and I have asked people, send me the documents. Send me the man who said this. Send me the man who started this. They can't do it. And the truth is that I'm certain that Daniel's 70 weeks of years is correct. And I'm also absolutely positive that the three he's in Daniel are not the Antichrist. They are the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I were to have, if I were to receive a rebuke from this, from any of the brethren in the American Baptist Association, or any of the brethren in the Southern Baptist Convention, and he could show me where such a document exists, I would go back into research again. But it hasn't happened. And it's not going to happen. For two reasons. First of all, they don't want to look back there. And it's kind of like, I used to have a car that made a noise in the back wheel all the time. My mother said, what are you going to do about that? I said, I'm going to ignore it. She said, what happens if it falls off? I said, then I'll stop ignoring it. And that's about the way I operate on this rapture. I've studied it for so long, and I know what's going to happen in the millennial reign, at least to the point that I'm looking forward to it. Now, Daniel's 490-year clock stopped ticking with 1,335 days remaining unfulfilled. It stopped ticking because the person that's talking about is Jesus Christ. Now, you may find some other references, sources that'll say it's either Antiochus Epiphanes or Jesus Christ, but you will not find anyone anywhere that says it's the Antichrist written before 1740. Now, Jesus fulfilled the first 1,135 days, and he fulfilled the first 3 years. He almost got to the middle, but he was cut off in the middle. And when he was crucified, it made the temple desolate, and the temple sacrifices have never been received again since that day. With 1,335 days remaining unfulfilled, Jesus was crucified. Jesus declared the Jerusalem temple spiritually desolate by his sacrifice. And it's been spiritually desolate ever since. And they have a veil over their heart. And some Jews do get converted, but most of them in Israel do not. Now, this clock of Daniel's is going to start again as the Antichrist attacks. So the thing really boils down to, do you know that the Antichrist is going to attack? I'm absolutely positive. Do you know that he's going to be a Muslim? I'm absolutely positive. You say, well, exactly when do you think it's going to occur? It's very likely the final 1,335 days of Daniel's 70 weeks shall begin. When you know it, and you will know it, and you will have the greatest earthquake that has occurred in that Israel valley since probably some of the earliest kings, probably the greatest that has ever occurred there, which several years later will be followed by a greater one that ends the days of wrath, the tribulation period. Now in Daniel 9:27 it says, and he, up until these writers begin to say that the he was Antichrist and was the Roman prince back in Daniel 9:26, they said that this was Jesus Christ. And they said that he confirmed the covenant with many for 1 week. Well, what is this covenant? It's the Abrahamic covenant. It's the covenant of the seed in Genesis 3:15. And it's the one who is Almighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Comforter. That's who it is. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. He was a perfect flesh and blood man who had no sin whatsoever and referred to himself as the Son of David and as the Son of Man. In addition, that man had two wills within inside him. The will of the everlasting Father, the will of Almighty God, the will of the Comforter, and the will of the Prince of Peace. He was both God and man. And when Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God cannot die. And God did not die. But the Son of Man, whom God resurrected, he himself resurrected himself, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. He sits in heaven today as the fullness of Almighty God, and his name is Jesus Christ. So what happened? He came to fulfill the covenant. He made a triumphant entry into the village. And as Leonard always so eloquently says, the stones would have cried out if the others hadn't. The Pharisees ran and said, don't cry out, Messiah. Don't do that. And Jesus told them that the stones would have cried out if they had not cried out. And he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Jesus said he would make the temple mound and the temple desolate. In other words, what is desolate? Spiritually desolate. And Jesus never, ever actually accepted a sacrifice when they rejected his son and when they crucified him. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. What were the abominations? They were selling sick sheep, sick goats, sick calves, and they were being bribed, and the priests were receiving bribes for accepting them. And that's why Jesus said, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Then he told you, see, this is something that was taught when I was a boy, what I'm teaching right now. And yet today, people just don't want to accept it. I think we've got a lot of tares that are claiming to be God's children that really aren't. I can't point the finger at them and say it's this one, this one, this one, this one. We don't have any in this church. And we haven't had any in this church since it historically begun. It began. How long is it going to be desolate? Even unto the consummation. What consummation? The consummation of the Gentile age. The consummation of this age that we are fast approaching the end of it. And what's going to happen while we're being judged in heaven after we're caught out? Well, what's going to happen on the earth? And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's perfect. That's just like writing it out in English. That's exactly what it is. And until John Darby came along out of the Plymouth Brethren in 1827 and went up to hear this little girl and began to teach it all over England, and the people loved it. They had just been through the War of 1812. The population didn't want to go through any more trouble, and God knows I don't blame them. So when John Darby came out and said that the he's were the Antichrist, and it referred back to the Roman prince in the former verses, everybody believed him. But John Darby, whether he realized it or not, introduced a blasphemous lie into prophetic teaching that the devil has been able to use to destroy Christian teaching all over the world. There are many who still believe what I believe. And some of them, like Roy, Roy Acuff, the actual teacher at the seminary, president of it for years. He's been down there, I think, 45 years. I can't think of his name. But that's what happened. That's what we were talking about earlier. Cool Hand. We were talking about that. And you see, I don't remember some of those names either. I used to remember all of them. But I guess my carnal nature is growing stronger as I grow older. Now, in Matthew 23:38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That is when Daniel's clock stopped ticking. It starts to again tick off Daniel's last 1,335 days as Antichrist attacks the Jews. Consider Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks of years, parts 1 to 10. I'm happy to tell you that many preachers have now started to believe this. And it doesn't make me happy, because I can say, look, I was right. Listen, I'm past that. Man alive, I used to love being right. And it was for the wrong reason. Just because it made me look good. And I don't want that anymore. I just want God to look good. And I want people to realize that we wouldn't even understand this if it wasn't for the Spirit of God. It's consider Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks of years, parts 1 to 10, issued as blogs in 2004 from April 24th to July 14th. You can go over there to the margin on that website, and you can go back and pick out all these and read them. And I first issued them back in, when I first came up here to this church a long time ago. But I didn't put them out for a long time. I just taught them here because I didn't want to cause any trouble in the American Baptist Association. Whether I was right or wrong, the Lord will let me know at the judgment seat. Maybe I should have done it earlier. The three he's in Daniel are not the Antichrist. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. Well, he did finish the transgression. He died on the cross. And to make an end of sins, that's plural, he made an end of all sins to those who would believe him. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, he made reconciliation for all iniquity, and he came to bring in everlasting righteousness. And he's going to bring it in the millennial reign, and to seal up the vision and prophecy. That's the last prophecy in the book of Daniel in chapter 12, and chapter 13, and to anoint the most holy. And that's Jesus. This is so plain, and it is so simple, and you do not have to go into a million and one charts and diagrams. It just tells you what's going to happen. The one thing it does not tell you is precisely when, down to the day, week, month, or year, that it will happen. But as we get close to the end, it's becoming more and more apparent that it's on its way right now. He says, and after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end shall be with a flood. That's already happened. And the end shall be there of a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. You know when that was? Check it out in history. He came down, and Titus overran the city. And then, behold, he went down and attacked the huge mountain that was where we went to visit, where that woman asked me about that bird. And when, Masada. And when he went down there, it took him another 2.5 years to overrun that. It says in the midst, and in the midst of the week, he shall leave the sacrifice to cease. Okay. Now, the consummation of the age, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And then he says to them, but call to remembrance the former days in which you were illuminated. He endured a great fight of afflictions. That's what we're about to go through. Partly while you were made a grazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds, and took it joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring and an enduring substance. These people way back there actually believed that this thing that was happening was going to continue, and one day they would be able to cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. That's what we're going through right now. There are a lot of our missionary Baptist churches that aren't growing, particularly if they still teach the truth. And there are a lot of Southern Baptist churches that aren't growing, particularly if they teach the truth. The size of a church has nothing to do whatsoever with what God thinks of the church. It's what the people think of God that matters, and how much they praise Him and recognize without Him they're hopeless. For ye have need of patience. That's hypomene, my favorite word in the Bible. It means patience, means endurance, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. I've heard this expression used many times, even as a boy growing up. And it said, where the preacher would say, now this is going to happen unless the Lord tarries. The Lord isn't going to tarry. He knows exactly when he's coming. It doesn't mean that the Lord said, well, I think I'll just put this off a little while longer. That turns him into some kind of a jack-o'-lantern that turns himself on and off to scare people and then smiles at them. It just, It's just not true. That's not what that means. It means when Jesus finally comes, whoosh, it's going to be that quick. That's why he says, "Behold, I come quickly," and that's exactly what he means. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus is here right now. He's not just everywhere. He's on throne in heaven. You say, he's everywhere. Yeah, he is everywhere. It's kind of like that song, what that fellow sang. He said, he's everywhere, he's everywhere. That's really not a good thing to use. For by it, the elders had obtained a good report. This is about as simple as your child, and you want him to have a good report card. You don't want him to drag in there with a bunch of D's and E's, particularly when he's capable of doing a whole lot better. And God wants you to have faith in something you can't see. And the word see, there's about 17 words translated as see. And some of them just mean two and 2 plus 2 equals 4, see. And it's just put that way. But this is something that I put on here for primarily for other churches. These are things that are on my heart right now. And there are things that God has put there. And I was beginning to wonder. I'm not going to say anything, Terry. Are you a member of a church obeying the teaching of Jesus? This will make a lot of people on my list mad. It is time for believers to look to the seed for protection from the beasts. You know those beasts that are there after the red horse rider, the black horse rider, the pale horse rider, and the beast of the field? The field is the world. And those are beasts. You name the character of them. Lions, tigers, birds. These are the beasts that are possessed by demonic spirits. And they're right in there with the rest of them. Take a look at that in Revelation chapter 6 and about verse 7, I believe, might be 8. It is time for believers to look to the seed for protection from the tares. We are not an attacked army. God didn't mean for us to get up and raise armies and defeat all the other people on the earth so that they would follow us. God meant for us to look to the seed for protection from the tares. If he has all power in heaven and in earth. I struggled with this for years when I first came up here. And Ken Sanders wanted to go out and find a cave and put a bunch of goods in there and get ready to go out and live in the cave. And the more I thought about that, I thought, well, putting in some canned goods, that's not a bad idea. But I got thinking, who do you trust? And, you know, Jesus protected the disciples. You say, well, they all died. Yeah, isn't that a good deal? So pray that you'll get a good deal. According to God. You say, well, it may not be what I want. Well, you say, you haven't learned yet that it's good to learn that Jesus watches over and protects his sheep. And if some of them die, they're far better off for dying for him than for running around being afraid of dying for him and a tribulation period than anything else. I have never seen in all my travels, so many mothers that were concerned about their children being frightened by my lectures. I mean, it shocked me. But then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, I can understand why. But I know Brother Suitcase Simpson out in Texas, he was a funny little booger. And the second night he said, listen, could you leave that part out about all those people being killed over there and you know, maybe some Christians being killed. I said, well, Bill, I said, I've already told them. He said, maybe they'll forget it. The rest of the time, you had to know him to appreciate that. I tell you, I have enjoyed doing these things, and I've made some real good friends and met some real characters. Okay. It is time for believers to look to the seed for protection from the tares. He's got all power in heaven and earth. I think he's going to protect us. Don't be afraid of dying. It's time to teach the nations all power in heaven and earth. To teach the nations all power in heaven and earth is the seeds. It belongs to him. It's time for local churches to teach and practice what the seed taught. It's time for local churches to teach and practice the seed's ordinances. Do you know there's a lot of people in other buildings meeting tonight, and particularly on Sunday morning, they don't even know what the church's ordinances are. And they don't even observe the Lord's Supper. They say, you don't have to observe the Lord's Supper to be saved. Well, that's true. And the Pentecostals believe, they don't believe you have to be baptized to get the Spirit. It is time for local churches to worship the seed in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus said. This has been true since the seed Jesus called out the first New Testament church. I consider the greatest honor in my life was to be saved by Jesus Christ. And the second greatest joy in my life came to be when the Lord called me out to be a part of one of his churches. I confess I didn't know what I was doing. I confess that I just knew I was supposed to do that. And after I answered the call and I began to study the word, then I kept thanking God over and over again about it. And then, please, my grandfather taught me all that stuff, but you know, to be taught something and then to let this yourself be taught strictly from the Bible, then it makes it valid, and it makes life worth living. Please compare the simplistic faith once delivered to the saints by God. The tares are more numerous in local churches and in huge assemblies. You know, we're really headed for some troublesome times. And there are times I used to wish, Lord, I wish I could tell them something that would be helpful to them. And, but as I come down to the end of this life, and the end of my pastorate here, I realize God really does teach you. And I realize that God really does open up his word to you so that it gives you confidence in him and not in yourself. So God doesn't promise you you won't be a martyr. But to be perfectly honest, the more you learn about it, the more you don't mind it at all. And it makes serving him a whole lot easier. And it makes you understand yourself a lot better. I've been here 40 years and I've got a lot to learn. I've got a lot to learn about my own character, about why I say and do things that I realize now in the past were wrong. And it's just an experience. You say, well, what are you doing? I'm preparing for the rapture. And then I'm preparing for the judgment seat of Christ. And then I'm preparing for coming back. You say, well, are you happy about that? Oh, yeah. I wish, I know sometimes preachers probably wish they could go back and live their life over. But I realize that's the wrong thing. Because I know when Paul wrote, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark. I press toward the prize for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And he's the prize. He's the prize. And many years ago, I married my physical prize down in Moultrie, Georgia. And I'm looking forward to seeing her again. Shirley, I looked at Chuck's last two messages. I looked on his site. You're the one told me he was going to put them on there, aren't you? And I liked them both. He had already preached one of them here, but I liked them both. So I'm going to put some of his on there too. The people that get on my net, the messages he put on there were just what they need. They're understandable and they're right to the point. So I'm going to put some of those on there, and it'll take a little pressure off me putting them all there all the time. I remember when the church got rid of J.C. James down in Little Rock, the church was real bad to talk about the pastor, and they started having me over at all the different meetings because I was the newest boy in town, and they'd have me present devotionals and stuff, and then they would try to crucify poor old Brother Lowerly. And I loved that old boy and his wife. They were so good to me. And so I just quit going over there. But the truth of the matter is, we all learn from one another. And believe it or not, I've learned some things from Southern Baptist preachers. So if you ever get to the point where you think you got this whole thing locked up, you're making a mistake. But Chuck's a good landmark Baptist. And so my daughters and the busybodies back there in the back decided it would be good for me if I didn't do those things on Saturday. And I have to admit, you're right. So I'm going to do what Chuck was doing on Thursday night and my prophecy thing. But that's all I'm going to do, and I ought to be able to handle that.
Looking forward to it. That's this week, right?
What?
They have to wait Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
It starts. I'm not even following what's going on.
You know what? The more I study, the more I learn. You know, the Lord, he can make man down.
I don't rule anything out.
Amen.
Except I know he's not going to use Oral Roberts. Anime.